This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The attributes, the essential sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called ta'til, denial of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a prevalent Jewish or Maimonian belief. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin. Show us the straight path, the path of istiqamah. The path of those whom you have favored, not the path of those who have earned your ghadab, nor those who have gone dhalin, who have gone astray. Many, many exegetes of the Quran say that these two groups refer to Yahud and Nasara, respectively, and that we are in the middle. We are a middle nation, a nation of i'tidal, of balance. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. This ayah is exactly in the middle of Al-Baqarah, verse 143 of 246 ayat. يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. Don't go into extremes in your religion. Ibn Rajab, he said that the asl, the foundation of istiqamah is istiqamatul qalb ala tawheed, is uprightness or steadfastness upon the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With respect to actions, Imam al-Razi said that istiqamah denotes that one does not become excessive or extreme, ifrat, nor does one fall short of one's obligations, tafrit, that one is neither a glutton nor a monk. There were three sahaba that came to that made resolutions. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. One of them said, Ana usalli layla abada. I'm going to pray qiyam al-layl every single night. I'm not going to sleep at night. The other one said, Ana asumu nahara abada. I'm going to pray every single day. I'm going to fast every single day. Excuse me. I'm going to fast every single day. And the third one said, Ana a'tazilu nisa fala atazawwaju abada. I'm going to swear off women. I'm never going to get married. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed of their resolutions, and he came to them and he said, Antumu alladhi qultum kadha wa kadha. Are you the ones that are saying this and that? He said, Ama wallahi inni la akhshaakum lillah wa atqaakum lahu. He said, I swear to Allah, I am the most pious among you, and the one that fears Allah the most. وَلَكِنِّي أَصُومُ وَأُفْتِرُ وَأُصَلِّي وَأَرْقُدُ وَأَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءِ. He said, but I pray, I fast and I eat, I pray and I sleep, I marry women. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي أَلْقَمَ قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Whoever turns away from my sunnah is not from me. He's teaching them istiqama, balance between ifrat and tafrit, between these extremes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of those in the Quran who are constantly vacillating between faith and infidelity. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا ثُمَّ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا. Indeed, those who believe, then disbelieve, then believe, then disbelieve. Why? Lack of istiqama, bouncing around from one extreme to the other. When one has istiqama, one becomes fortified in one's faith, confident in one's faith. It means to be principled. It means to stand up for something. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq once came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, qad shibta, O Messenger of God, you have become gray. According to Anas ibn Malik, there was a little bit of gray hair in the blessed chin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and some concentrated at his temples. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, he said, qala shayyabatni hud wa akhawatuha. He said that Surat Hud and her sister surahs have turned my hair gray. In another hadith, he said, Hudun wal waqi'ah wal mursalat wa amma yatasa'alun wa idha shamsu kuwirat. That the subject matters of these suwar have incredible gravitas to them. They have thaqila, they're weighty. The Imam al-Razi, he said that according to Ibn Abbas, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified ayah 112 of Surat Hud as having an exceptionally weighty effect on his physical body, that it turned his hair gray. This is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Fastaqim kama umirta wa man taba ma'ak." Be upright, have istiqama as you have been commanded, and those with you that are turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa man ma'aka. And this ka is a direct reference, direct address. The khitab is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is second masculine singular. But without skipping a beat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَدْغَوْا. And now in the plural, this is a sudden change of number. This is called iltifat, rhetorical device. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only speaking directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but by extension to the ummah. So this device shows or denotes a very close affinity between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his ummah. وَلَا تَدْغَوْا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Do not transgress. Imam al-Suyuti says the meaning of this is, لا تجاوزوا حدود الله. Do not overstep or exceed the parameters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Stay within the bounds of permissibility. And then Allah says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Do not literally lean towards or incline towards those who do wrong. Imam Suyuti says, بِالْمَوَدَّ وَمُدَاهَنَا. Ibn Kathir says, أَوْ رِضَى بِعَمَالِهِمْ. Do not incline towards those who do wrong with your affection or your flattery or your approval, your content with their deeds. فَتَمَسَكُمُ النَّارِ. Or else the fire will touch you. وَمَا لَكُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. And you will have no one other than Allah as a protector, and you will not be helped. Do not incline towards those who do wrong with affection, with flattery or contentment, even if they are rich, even if they're famous, even if they have power or influence in the dunya. Don't be a sellout. It's better to remain grounded in one's principles. I'll give you an example. I tell this story quite often. There's a brother who came to me many, many years ago, and he said, I got a job in a financial district, and it's Ramadan. They're going to take me out to lunch. I'm just going to eat. I said, why are you going to do that? It's haram. You can't eat. He said, I'm just going to eat. They're going to find out I'm Muslim, and then, you know, they're going to make a hard time for me. I said, no, don't. And I told him something that actually happened to me. A similar thing happened to me many, many, many moons ago when I was working in the financial district. I got hired as an accountant, so they took me out to lunch during Ramadan, and I wasn't ordering food. And I noticed the CFO was with us, and he was pulling out his matzah crackers out of his bag. He was a practicing Jew. And he said, why aren't you eating? I said, I'm fasting, it's Ramadan. And I said, what is this? He said, this is Passover week. So we struck up an incredible relationship. The CFO was my best friend in the entire office. Other employees would go around thinking, what is this lowly staff accountant? How does he have such a great relationship with the CFO? I told them, religion brought us together. We bonded over religion. A Muslim and a Jew bonded over religion. Be principled. Be principled. Ibn Hisham, he mentions that during the early Meccan period, the Quraysh tried essentially to muscle the Prophet ﷺ, to intimidate him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was speaking to the Prophet during this time and saying, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ. Be patient in the face of what they're saying. وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. And leave them with a beautiful leaving. So he wouldn't engage with them. So they went to Abu Talib, his uncle, the man who raised him. And they said to him, silence your nephew. Tell him to stop preaching against our gods. If not, we'll fight both of you. This is a tahdeed. This is a threat. So Abu Talib, he called for the Prophet ﷺ and tried to appeal to the gentle, kind, prophetic heart. And he said to him, spare me and spare yourself. Do not lay a burden on me greater than I can bear. In other words, take it easy on me. I'm an old man. I can't fight Quraysh. It's time to make a deal. It's time to compromise. Now the Prophet ﷺ was very gentle and a very compromising person. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا خَلِيدَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. It is part of the mercy of Allah that you have gentleness, lean, you have rifq. إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ. You hibbu rifq. Allah loves gentleness. But the Prophet ﷺ would only compromise to the extent that he did not breach the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, theologically or ethically. The Prophet ﷺ's response to Abu Talib is the stuff of legend. He said, لَوْ وَضَعُوا الشَّمْسَ فِي يَمِينِي وَالْقَمَرَ فِي يَسَارِي عَلَى أَنْ أَتْرُكَ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ حَتَّى يُذْهِرُهُ اللَّهُ أَوْ أَهْلِكَ دُونَهُ مَا تَرَكْتُهُ. He said, if they were to put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, if they gave me the world on the condition that I forsake this mission, on the condition that I forsake this mission until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it victorious, or I am destroyed in the process, I will never abandon this mission. And Abu Talib looked at the Prophet ﷺ and he saw that the Prophet was absolutely deadly serious about this. And he said, okay, say whatever you want. I'll continue to support you. They fight us, they fight us. Be a principled person, especially in modern times. In our times, very difficult. In the hadith of Tirmidhi, Anas ibn Malik says, the Prophet ﷺ said, يَأْتِ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ أَصَّابِرُ فِيهِمْ عَلَى دِينِهِ قَلْقَابِتِ عَلَى الْجَمَرَ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. There will come a time upon the people when one who is steadfast in his religion will be like a person clutching onto a burning ember or burning piece of coal, simply maintaining that there is an absolute truth, capital T, that there is Al-Haq, or that there is moral right and wrong, objective right and wrong, will make you the target of ridicule and verbal attack in our culture. That's because Abrahamic morality and tradition is under ideological assault everywhere in the media and in the academy. They're going to call you backwards and misogynistic. They'll call you homophobic and transphobic. They'll call you violent and stupid and archaic and outdated. You see, people don't like to be ridiculed or verbally attacked. So what do they do? What do young Muslims do in college when this is happening to them? What do? They drop the coal. They say, wow, this is too hot. I can't handle it. People are led to believe that atheism is better for societal well-being than theism. This is utterly ridiculous. There was an 18th century French philosopher, a believer in God. He said it like this. Imagine there's a magic button. Imagine there's a magic button. If you press this button, all of the wealth of the world will come into your possession. But there's a catch. A human being somewhere in the world will fall down dead. It could be your neighbor. It could be your brother. It could be a total stranger, a civil engineer living in Beijing, China. A human person will fall down dead if you press this button. So he says, to whom then will you entrust this button? A very devout, God-fearing, Abrahamic theist who believes in the day of judgment and absolute moral responsibility, supernatural moral responsibility? Or a very committed atheist who believes in natural selection, survival of the fittest, no afterlife, no supernatural moral accountability? To whom then will you entrust this? Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. You better believe it. Inna Allah kana alaykum raqiba. Allah says in the Quran, and this is a verse that I find myself quoting a lot these days. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu man yartadda minkum an deenihi. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. He says, oh, you who believe, if you turn away from this religion, مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ إِرْتِدَاد, apostate, leave the religion. Soon will Allah bring a people. Now Allah describes them. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. That He loves, Allah loves them, and they love Him. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are humble with the believers. أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Respected amongst disbelievers. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. And they're not afraid of people who blame them or find fault in them or reproach them. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ. That is the bounty of Allah upon whom He gives out of His will. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah is all-encompassing and omniscient. The ulama say the main reason for the apostasy that we can glean from this ayah is lack of love, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He'll bring a people, He will love them, and they will love Him. So this means that these people who are being replaced, they've lost the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whom does Allah love? And why? In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us explicitly the categories of people whom He loves. These are people who exhibit some sort of character, virtue. And by the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never says anywhere in the Quran that He hates anybody. It's not in the Quran. There's a verse like this in the Psalms and the Bible, which is ironic considering the Christian da'wah to us. But in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah yuhibbu or la yuhibbu. He loves or He doesn't love. And His love is open to all. But it must be earned. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Al-Mutatahirin, Al-Muqsitin, Al-Mutawakkilin, Al-Muttaqin, Al-Sabirin, Al-Muhsinin, Al-Ladhin Yuqatiluna Fi Sabilihi Saffan, Al-Ladhin Yattabi'una Al-Rasul. These are the categories of people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. The people of Tawbah, the people of Tahara, the people of Justice, Qist, the people of Tawakkul, the people of Taqwa, the people of Sabr, the people of Ihsan, the people who engage the enemy with one heart, the people who adhere to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the virtues of the ahibba'ullah, of the beloved ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there is a hadith in Tirmidhi. There's some weakness in the hadith, and that's okay. So what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said something quite amazing. This is quoted many times with the ulama. He said, "Inna Allah amarani bi hubbi arba'a." He said, indeed, Allah has ordered me to love four people. وَأَخْبَرَنِي أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّهُمْ. And He's informed me that He, Allah, loves them. قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ سَمِّيهِمْ لَنَا. It was said, O Messenger of God, Can you name them? Name drop. If you look at these four names, these were men who never wavered in the deen. People of repentance, purity, justice, reliance, piety, patience, all of the virtues that are beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one he mentioned was Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, karamallahu wajha. Imam al-Tabari says that when the ayah was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Warn your family who are nearest of kin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Sayyidina Ali to organize a banquet, and 40 men of the aristocrats of the Bani Abdul Muttalib attended. And the Prophet fed them a meal. And Sayyidina Ali was 13 years old at the time, probably, very young. And he gave them this weighty responsibility. After they had finished the meal, the Prophet ﷺ stood up. And he said, I've been ordered to call you to Allah, wahdahu la sharika lah. I've been ordered to call you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only God. Man ansari ilallah, which of you will help me in my mission? And there was a long, uncomfortable silence. Until Sayyidina Ali stood up himself and said, I will help you. And everyone started laughing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he smiled at Sayyidina Ali and he said, "Hada akhi ati'hu." This is my brother, obey him. And everyone started talking to Abu Talib and laughing. He's ordering us to obey your son. That was Sayyidina Ali. La yakhafu lawma tala'im. He's not afraid of people who find fault in him, who reproach him for his deen. In a hadith of Ibn Majah, on the day of Khaybar, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La ab'athanna rajulan yuhibbu Allah wa rasulahu." وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Tomorrow I'm going to give the standard to a man who loves Allah and His Messenger and is beloved to Allah and His Messenger. And he gave the standard to Sayyidina Ali. In Bukhari, we are told that the mushrikeen tried to revise the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The Suhail ibn Amr, he saw Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and he said, what is ar-Rahman? Who is ar-Rahim? Change this, Allahumma bismika. And Sayyidina Ali was the scribe. So the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, fine. So Ya Ali, change the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma bismika. And Sayyidina Ali said, okay, I'll change it. And Suhail keeps reading. Is Muhammadur Rasulullah? He said, no. Rasulullah, change the Ibn Abdullah. Let's make it more secular. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Ya Ali, umhu Rasulullah. Erase this where it says Rasulullah. La, wallahi, la, la, la amhuka abada. I will never erase you. I will never erase you. Sayyidina Ali even disobeyed the Prophet out of love and respect for the Prophet. Aliyun minni wa ana min Ali wa ana min Ali. It's hadith in Tirmidhi. Ali is from me and I am from Ali. They are united. The second of the four he mentioned, Abu Dhar al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda. When Abu Dhar became Muslim, he went to the Kaaba. This is early in the Meccan period, very dangerous. He goes to the Kaaba and he starts shouting, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And the mushrikeen beat him within an inch of his life. And Al-Abbas had to throw his body over him to protect him. And the Prophet said to Abu Dhar, you should not have done that. And Abu Dhar said, I couldn't help it. When the Prophet ﷺ passed away, Abu Dhar moved to the Syrian desert. He never recovered. He never recovered when his beloved had passed away. He was never the same person until his own death. Terminally brokenhearted. One of my teachers said, قُتِلَ بِسَيْفِ الْمَحَبَّةِ. Slain with the sword of love. This is Abu Dhar al-Ghifari. The third of the four he mentioned, Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. That just before the battle of Badr, Ghazwat Badr, the Prophet ﷺ held a war council. The Prophet told the Ansar that the coming conflict was within the Quraysh, in other words, between the polytheistic Meccans and the believing immigrants. So the Ansar were not even required to join the fight. Bukhari relates that on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, he stood up in the council and he said, Ya Rasulallah, la naqulu laka kama qalat banu Israeli Musa. We're not going to say to you, like what the Israelites said to Musa alayhi salam, فَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. You go with your Lord and fight, we're going to just sit here. وَلَكِنْ إِمْضِي وَنَحْنُ مَعْكَ. But advance, we are with you. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, كَأَنَّهُ سُرِّيَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَالْآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. It looked as if the Prophet's face was beaming with joy at the words of Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. The fourth one, Salman al-Farisi. Salman was a scholar of religion who traveled the world to find the truth. A Christian bishop in Iraq told him that the coming of a prophet was imminent in the Hijaz. So Salman arrived in Madinatul Munawwara, but was captured and enslaved by a Jewish tribe called Bani Qurayza. And he remained a slave in the city for years and years. Once in a while, he'd see the Prophet and feel absolutely elated. He'd take his spiritual sustenance. Until finally, the Prophet found a way to free him from his so-called master. The Prophet said in a hadith in Tirmidhi, if iman, if faith were suspended on Pleiades, on Athuraya, if iman was suspended from the stars, then hadha wa ashabu, this man and his companions, and he put his blessed hand on the fakhidh, on the thigh of Salman al-Farisi, this man and his companions would somehow get to that and reach it. The Prophet said, Salmanu minna ahlil bayt, Salman is from us, the people of the house. These are the four. Men of principle, dedication, loyalty, courage, love, devotion, istiqama, amarani bi hubbihim wa akhbarani annahu yuhibbuhum. Finally, my advice to myself and by extension to all of you is to be patient, to keep going, keep the faith, as they say. A Muslim's life is a marathon. You have to pace yourself. Don't stop running. Don't sell out the deen. And don't check out of the deen. Allah ordered us, wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tika al-yaqeen. Worship your Lord until certitude comes to you. What is al-yaqeen in this ayah? Most of the mufassirin, Qurtubi, Tabari, Zamakhshari, Suyuti, and many, many others, they say that al-yaqeen here means al-maut, means death. That is the end of your ibadah. With your death, one of the very last things, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, while he was in his final illness, he sat on the minbar in his masjid, and he said, "Inna Allah khayra abdan bayna dunya wa ma wa bayna ma indah." Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a certain slave of his a choice between what is in the world and what is with him. فَاخْتَارَ ذَٰلِكَ الْعَبْدِ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. And that servant has chosen what is with Allah. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, who relates the hadith, he says, فَبَكَى أَبُو بَكْرٍ. At this, Abu Bakr began to weep profusely. And he said, فَعَجِبْنَا لِبُكَائِهِ. We didn't understand, why is he weeping? And then Abu Sa'id said, oh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's referring to himself. He is the abd. In his statement, that this intimates that the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very, very short. One of the final things he said after that, "Fasbiru hatta talqawni ala al-hawd." So be patient, keep going, persevere until you meet me at the hawd, the Prophet's basin, just outside of paradise. Persevere, keep going, keep moving. Until you meet me at the hawd, then you can relax. Then you can relax. Until then, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. Allah and His Messenger know that we cannot be perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. O you who believe, fear Allah as is His right to be feared. And the Sahaba heard this ayah and they started to shake. How can we have taqwa of Allah? How can we fear Allah as is His right? Another ayah was revealed clarifying, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعَتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. This is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do the best you can. If you trip and fall in your marathon, stand back up and keep moving. قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was abused physically. They threw something on him. He lied down. Jibreel alayhi salam said, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ. Stand back up. Get up. Go back out there. Keep moving. You have to keep persevering. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Istaqimu wa lan tuhsu." Try your best to be upright, although you will not be able to do so. Strive for perfection. He knows you can't be perfect. Wa'amalu, wa'amalu. But keep working. Wa'amalu. So keep working. Wa khayrul a'malikum as-salah. And the best of your actions is the prayer. وَلَا يُحَافِظُ عَلَى الْوُضُوءِ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٍ. And only a believer is constant in his ablutions. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ يَتُوبُ وَتُوبُوا عَلَيْنَا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى ساداتنا وإمتنا أبي بكر عمر عثمان وعلي ورضي الله تعالى عن أصحاب رسول الله أجمعين. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا الشر ما قضيت. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نسألك بنور وجهك الكريم بحقق عليك حسن الخاتمة عند الممات لنا ولأحبابنا ولجميع المسلمين يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إن كنا من الظالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكوننا من الخاسرين. يا مقلب القلوب الأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. يا مقلب القلوب الأبصار ثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك. وصلى الله على سيد محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين. وأقيموا الصلاة لذكر الله.